Good morning, everyone. I don't know if I need to tell you the title or bring me out, but I think to let you taste a little bit what I will speak about, I tell you. So, the title is God is Dead. Maybe in a church is strange speaking about this, but sometimes the reality bring us in that conclusion. So I would like you to bring you with me in a journey to see what happened in general in life, and to encourage above all your life, because we are here not just to perform or to pass our time. We are here for a purpose, and it's to encourage and bless your life. So I start, okay? The story of humankind is divided in different periods. There was, the golden age when the culture was created, the poetry and all that stuff. Then there is the middle age when, people thought that the life in heaven was better than life in earth. There was enlightenment when the reason was considered the answer to everything. And then there is the modern age in which we live. And although there are all the theories on those words that we don't understand, the foundation of modern age is a statement. A statement that changed the way humankind think and act. And this statement is this. I seek God. I seek God, but He is dead. And He remains dead. This is the statement of the society in which we live. And although it was a statement made hundreds of years ago, today we see the effect of that statement. Because a lot of people, Christian or not Christian, may end up with that statement. Why? Because suffering is real. We may believe in God, but we cannot skip suffering. Actually, once I read some thoughts, some words that someone wrote. They are like that. Dear God, I apologize if I have disappeared, but is that lately you did it too? I'm not here to argue, but we have to be honest. I looked for you everywhere, but you, where you were. In my life, you have not been what you should. The devil was better in some ways. I knew that he was there for I was suffering. But what is the point of believing you when you disappears when I most needed you? People write prayers, but maybe you don't like reading. God, you establish the laws in the universe. You take and give, but the letter from hell, you never read them. If you are omnipresent and from above you stare at us, considering the times when you see and do not act, perhaps it's better to make us believe that you do not exist. These are real words of a real person, of a real suffering. And when we speak about life, we may speak of God, but we cannot skip the pain and the sorrow. And today I want to speak with you about a story in the Bible that maybe is the core, the center of the whole story, because it's about Jesus. But I would like to present you from a different angle. And there is a slide with some verses. The story is about the death of Jesus. But, we have four Gospels, so there isn't all the account in one Gospel. So I try to present the whole story from the whole Gospels, but reading as a whole story, as a continuing story. So I will just, read these slides, and then we continue, we move on. Okay, the first one is from Luke 23, verse 44 to 49, and say that. just the context, Jesus was arrested, taken, beaten, and crucified. So now we are here. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now the centurion and those soldiers who were with him, standing guards over Jesus, when they saw the things that happened, were amazed and terrified. And all the crowds, having seen the things that were taking place, felt broken-hearted and returned home. And all those who knew him, including the many women who had followed him, stood at distance, watching these things. Continuing. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Now the soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified, and with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his leg. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, beginning a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony that Jesus was dead. Should be a next slide. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that he was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped in the linen, and placed it in a tomb. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The last one. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate. And they said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead." Now, reading this story as a unique story, okay, we know that Jesus died for us, we know that through him we have salvation. But today I would like to stretch a little bit and look in this story from a different angle. Because, the title is "God is Dead." And actually, personally, reading these stories, today I will show you, historically, the proof that Jesus was dead. Just reading this account. And from the historical point of view, then we come nowadays. So, just to be clear, the people that were seeing Jesus in that cross dying, they saw that Jesus was dead. And just in order, we started with the centurion and the guards that were looking to Jesus, and they saw and heard Jesus said, "I give you my spirit," speaking to the Father. Just to make sure, they took a spear and stuck it on one of the side of Jesus, and they knew that Jesus was dead. First proof. Second proof, there was a crowd all around the crucifixion scene. And that crowd that saw Jesus was being beaten, that crowd that saw all that the Roman soldiers beating Jesus, now realize that Jesus was dead. In fact, as we read before, they were terrified and broken inside, and they went home. Second proof, the crowd knew that Jesus was dead. Now also the disciples, as we read, the disciples and the women that were with them were watching at distance. What they were watching? That Jesus was dying. So third proof, the women knew that Jesus was dead. Then we have Pilate. And Pilate actually didn't saw it, but just was an account referred to him that Jesus was dead. So he knew that he was dead. So we have four proof. Then we have a fifth proof, that is the one of Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus, that they took the body of Jesus and prepared it to bury Jesus. And they realized that Jesus was dead because they touched his body and there was no pulse, there was no breath. And they knew that Jesus was dead. And the last proof is that also the leaders, religious leaders of those times, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those people, knew that Jesus was dead because once they realized that Jesus was dead, they wanted a guard in front of the tomb to make sure that Jesus was not being stolen. And then, oh, he rise again. So as we can see, historically, the proof that Jesus was dead were real. Now, we take this story today. Today, God is dead is not a real statement, physically speaking, but it's just the feeling that one person can have towards God. Because when we suffer, when we see a very tough time, when we experience a very tough time in our life, the only feeling that we can have is that God is out there but does not really caring. And actually, to express it clearly, I just wrote down some thought. God is dead can be referred to a time when you don't see a way of escape in what you live. God is dead can be referred to those situations all around you that are killing you. God is dead is that feeling that you can have when you have nothing to give and your hope is gone. God is dead is what you prove, what you feel when you are in the middle of the valley of death and there are only dried bones around you. What means God is dead? God is dead is that feeling that maybe all of us may pass through during our journey in life when we experience life and this life bring us in the ground and tell us to give up. God is dead is not saying God does not exist. God is dead is that feeling that say, God, you know, as I read in the beginning, you are omnipresent, you watch at us, you are omnipotent, so you can do everything. But considering all those times that you don't act, you see it, don't act, maybe it's better to believe that you don't exist. And, you know, Christian or not Christian, we arrived to that point when the situation come and we want just to give up. And, you know, continuing this story, you know, Jesus died, he has been buried. There were two disciples in particular that wanted to give up, actually started to give up. And I speak about the disciples in the road of Emmaus, because they were discouraged. They were seeing their dream buried, because they expected that this Jesus was the Redeemer of their life, but now he's dead. So, give up. Actually, I would like to continue this account with their story. And in Luke 24, from verse 13, we read this. So, Friday, Jesus died. Saturday, Jesus is in the tomb doing nothing, because he's dead. And Sunday, we read this. Now, the first day of the week, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, let's try to imagine the situation. Jesus died, and two disciples are speaking each other, saying, you know what? Maybe we believed a lie, because Jesus was speaking about victory. Jesus was speaking about abundant life. Jesus was speaking about redemption. But now, we are confused. Now, we are crushed. Now, we feel oppressed. Because now, the only person that could set us free is gone. So, you know what? I stop believing in these things. I go back. I go back in Emmaus. I go back in that place where I never knew that man. To me now, God is dead. Because what I have gone through was just a lie. Because that man that make just promises, now is gone. So I don't want really believe to someone who just speak and does not really care about my broken world. But in the verse that I have read, the last, I think is verse 15, say this. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now we are speaking about disciples. We are speaking about people that knew Jesus. You know, although was Jesus resurrected, you know, the substance is that. Jesus is the same. But they were not seeing him. Why? Because they were seeing only the death. Now that we arrive to a point, you know, of oppression, God is dead, I would like to take you to continue this journey. Because sometimes, you know, we don't realize that in every situation, God is present. And reading this passage, I just see a God that knows more than us. Just reading this passage, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. You know, Jesus can be a stranger to us, because it does not come in our situation. But you and your situation are no stranger to God, because you may not see him. You may not recognize him in your situation, but he knows. And this truth can give us encouragement, because, okay, we know just that God is dead, that God is not in our situation. But God, okay, we see God is not in our situation, but God see himself in our situation. You get the point? Okay. But the story is not finished. In fact, if you continue reading in verse 19, the same Luke 24, we read this. Now the disciples, you know, start to speak with this stranger. And they just break. Opened their heart to him, saying, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is that the third day, since all Since all this took place, some women went to the tomb early in the morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they have seen an angel who said that he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found that it was just as the woman said, but they did not see Jesus. You know, after saying God is dead, so you don't see God in what you live. After saying, okay, you don't see him, but he knows what you are going through. He knows how you feel. He knows your circumstances. It's just information. So, although I'm like those disciples, I come to you and say, you know, God is alive. He's not dead. You know, God is your situation. He's not dead. Thank you for the information, is the response. But I still don't see Jesus. I still don't see this Jesus alive. But, you know, the story need to arrive to a point when something, let's say, supernatural happened. And it's that time when Jesus, still a stranger to them, opened his heart and saying this. Okay, don't speak, but say this. Beginning with Moses and all the prophet, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. Verse 27. In a sense, the disciples are confused and they say, God is not in my situation. Okay, and Jesus is there hearing that. And then they say, he was our redeemer, but now he's gone. You may say God is alive, but I don't see him. Okay. And Jesus say, start with Moses or the prophet, start to explain the scripture about himself. Let's imagine. Genesis. You know, this Redeemer was in the creation. He created everything with God. But you know what? There was a serpent in the creation that deceived the woman and the man. And there was yet consequences, but there is a sentence that God said, that the seed of the woman would destroy this serpent. And you know what? That seed of the woman was that Jesus that was dying. Then Exodus. You know that the Egyptian that were in the desert make free by Moses. You know that moment was speaking about that Jesus that is dead, that will set free the people from slavery, from oppression. And so on. We cannot go to Genesis to Revelation. And I try to imagine this dialogue between Jesus and these people. And I found a verse in the Bible that may summarize in a very concise way all the words that Jesus may have said. And this verse is in Acts chapter 4, verse 27 to 28. Taken from the Amplified Version, so it's a bit different from this. Say this. I put also, I like to personalize, you know, and this verse, you read it as a prayer to God, but I try to make it as a narrative, so it's not to God, but just a story. I say this. For in the city of Jerusalem, there were gathered together against Jesus the Christ, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever the hand and the purpose that God had planned before the creation of the world. And so without knowing it, they set in motion God's purpose. Let's put order in whatever I have said. Jesus died. The disciples saw it, are discouraged. I give up. A stranger come and say, you know what? Jesus is not dead. And the disciples say, thank you for the information, but I don't see Jesus. They are discouraged. And Jesus say the story. And the way that Jesus say the story is presenting a God that is in control. Because he's presenting all the power that was in man, so Herod, Pilate were killing Jesus, actually was everything under the control of God, because everything was for the purpose that God had in the beginning. So where I'm going? What is the thing that I want to say? The things that I want to say is this. The reality is that in what we see, in what we hear, in what we live in our life, God appears dead. Why? I have a video. I have a video that may explain why we end up saying that God is dead. This to me is a modern story of Luke 24. Of a previous Christian that say, you know, God is dead. And you know, humans are not stupid. There is every time a reason for the way we think, we believe. And as that man is not just a movie, but is the reality that as some people may live, that for what happened in life, then God became a lie. Because we cannot think that suffering comes from God. I'm not saying that suffering comes from God. I'm just saying that God is in control in your suffering. I'm just saying that you, your life, is still in the hands of God while you suffer. And you don't see it because it's like a body that has need to be in a hospital, in a process of surgery, and you have the eye closed. So what you see is nothing. But you know that there is a doctor there that is watching perfectly where to go. And this is the picture that I want to leave with you. Process it. That our lives sometimes are just in that bed, with the eye closed, seeing nothing. Sometimes our life is just in the middle of confusion and darkness. And if for a moment you close your eyes, I may speak to you. I say, you know, God is here. But you, with the eyes closed, say, it's a lie. Because I don't see him. And it is true. But there is also another face of the medal of the coin. And it's this. You may not see him, but he is in control of your life. And you know, today we are here to encourage you. And we as a body of the Bible school, we are here as a stranger. As those strangers in the way of Emmaus, that stranger that was Jesus, in the way of Emmaus, approached the disciples, saying, God is alive, even though you don't see it. We as a body are here to encourage your life. And we may be just strangers. Of course, we are not Jesus. But we want to tell you this truth, that you don't see it, but God is in control. God is not taken yourself out of his hands. Maybe you feel out of his will, but God is still here, and you are here. He's still watching you. I want to conclude with a verse in the Bible that says this, in Isaiah 41:13, in contemporary version, say this, I'm the Lord, your God, and I am still holding your hand. So, do not be afraid, because I'm here to help you.